Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, April the 10th of 2019. And the time is 1, actually a little after 1 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very, very powerful show scheduled for today. We want to talk about this topic of being broken. We want to talk about being depressed. We want to talk about being angry. We want to talk about being negative. And we really want to talk about being evil. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of are broken. It is amazing that we all go through things in life, but for whatever reason, some people have a difficulty recovering or bouncing back or coming back from this negative event or this disappointment, this pain, this heartache, this anguish. Whatever it is that's going on in the life, a lot of people have difficulty bouncing back from adversity. Now, we have to break this down today because it does not require a lot of energy or a lot of effort to be angry. Now, my brothers and my sisters, it's extremely, extremely important that you over and understand this, because I am not saying you do not have the right to be angry. The Bible says, be angry, sin not. So I'm not saying that whatever situation that you're going through, whatever's going on in your life, that you're not justified, or it is, you do not have the right to feel the way that you feel. A lot of people think when I talk about topics like this, when they say, hey, just get over it, just move on, that there is a misinterpretation of, the statement that is being made. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because each and every one of us, we have a mental disposition that we maintain, and we have a choice in that mental disposition. Now, I'm not saying, again, that whatever adversity that you're going through is not justified or not warranted, but what I'm talking about is being broken. So there is these five steps that you go through before you become, or before you have what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. So the Father would turn you over to a reprobate mind. And when we talk about this reprobate mind, we're talking about a mental disposition that is the result of being broken, being depressed, being angry, being negative, and being evil. And those, these steps, if you want to use that word, steps, is you are unprincipled. It means, reprobate means something that is not principled. It's not organized. It means something that is resistant to, it's something that is corrupted. So we want to talk about this corruption process. What corrupts the individual mind? What corrupts us? What makes you corrupt? What makes you angry? What makes you feel depressed? What makes you feel negative? A reprobate mind is a mind that is given over to certain things that takes a person in a way that is not based upon their destiny and their giftedness. And, I just got back home, had a deep conversation with one of my nephews who was in a place. And I do this for a living. I talk to a lot of clients, and they are in a specific place. And a lot of clients, a lot of, family members, myself, I've been in many, many, many places. That's why this topic, like most topics, I don't need no notes. I don't need anything. I can come straight off the dome. Because a person who feels rejected by God does not have any service or feelings toward God, God being the grantor of destinies. So if you, now when you go through adversity like I did, and the adversity, the first thing I did is I blamed God. Why me? Why me? Why me? And then so I felt rejected, not only by the situation, but also by God, because I felt God could have intervened, even though a lot of the stuff, in fact, all the stuff in my case was self-induced. So then you go on to self-serving instead of God-deserving. You become self-serving instead of God-deserving. Let me say it again. This is the key of understanding a reprobate mind. You become self-serving instead of God-deserving. You no longer deserve the grace of God. You feel condemned by God, and so you start doing things that's anti-God. That means anti-destiny. That means anti-purpose. Now, I'm not talking about, morality. I'm talking about design. I'm talking about destiny. So for me, morality is destiny. So anytime I'm violating my purpose, I'm violating God's law. So God's law for me has nothing to do with right or wrong. God's law has to do with fulfilling purpose, growth, involving, or growing. We talked about this in the private show where I broke down last night as we talked about the importance of making sure that your brain operates and vibrates in a manner or in a disposition that allows the oil to, quote unquote, rise up. And this oil provides something called proof. And this proof is an internal mood stabilizer. So the first sign that the pineal gland is activated, or that you, quote unquote, saved, or that you are in the presence of the inner verse, because that is the inner God, is once you understand the depth of the statements that are the depth of the feelings that are a result of the statement. What feelings? Well, again, first, your mood is stabilized. Number two, your 12 senses are activated instead of the 5 physical senses. The 12 spiritual senses are activated. Then you want to feel better. And the number one key is you start to decrease, or you no longer are a glutton. And the gluttony is not only from the perspective of diet. The gluttony is from the perspective of abuse. So gluttony is a result of overdoing anything. You can overdo video games. You can overdo eating. You can overdo makeup. You can overdo hair. You can overdo nails. You can overdo shoes. You can overdo anything. That's gluttony. Gluttony is an excess. So the inability for you to exercise self-control, that's gluttony. That's a key that you are broken, because broken people overcompensate for their brokenness. So let's break down these 5 keys to lead you to a reprobate mind, where you become evil, and your spinal cord, which is the narrow way that leads to the Father. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. And that is when the brain saves the seed and moves it up from your solar plexus into the holies of holies, or into heaven, or into the heaved up part of the brain, where we talk about the crown chakra. So when we are talking about this, we're talking about, again, under open understanding, a reprobate mind is a mind that is broken. But how did it get broke? It takes place inside of you that would make you feel broken. Now, remember, when we talk about the word broke, or we talk about the word broken, that means that it's like a broken mind. Broken means something that is not together. It is like bent. So what does it mean, though, to be broken? Well, to be broken, it means that something has damaged you to the point that you think, therefore you feel, you need to be fixed. Now, remember, by definition, broken means something that is, you know, not straight, something that is not together, something that is violently separated, shattered. So broken means that you believe something's wrong with you. Now, there's a lot of people I know that believe something's wrong with them. I used to be one of them for the first 50 years of my life. I've just walked into this. That's why I can teach it now. Remember, you can't teach it until you master it. You can't teach it until you pass the test. So you keep going through Groundhog's Day. You cannot teach financial literacy until you come out of financial poverty. So you got to be able to fix yourself. So how do you fix yourself? By realizing that there's nothing wrong with yourself. Now, I know that's tough. But it goes back to the teaching that I did on whatever you want prevents you from receiving whatever you have. Let me say that again. So whatever you want prevents you from having. Let me say it again. Whatever you want prevents you from having it. Let me say it again. If you want money, the fact that you want money prevents you from having money. Why? That's the definition of being broken. So remember, this is a 5-step process to being evil. Number one, being broken. Number two, being depressed. Number three, being angry. Number four, being negative. And number five, being evil. So, but everything starts with being broken. So broken is an illusion. Just the same thing like poverty is an illusion. Because there's no such thing as poverty, because poverty has nothing to do with money. Poverty has to do with currency. Currency has to do with your ability to create. The ability to create has to do with your ability to maintain your mental disposition and do the process that we've been talking about in the private show, by raising the Christ oil in your spinal cord up past the pneumogastric nerve, where it gets to the pineal gland and you become, quote unquote, conscious. That's called cognition. That means that you can perceive. That's all. Rich currency is ability. Currency means current. Current means it's present. That means it's relevant. It's relevant now, and it means that it's moving. So you should be relevant, and you should be moving. If you do that, you'll always have what we call money. If you're not relevant, and if you're not moving, you'll never have money. Money is a result of you flowing. If you take a river and you dam it up, that river is going to turn green. because there's no oxygen in that river. So as long as you're current, as long as you're talking to me about currency, current, what does current mean? Current means that it's relevant. Now, what's relevant to me? Let me tell you what's relevant to me. What's relevant to me is you share something that with me that's based upon the truth, not a version of it. That's relevant. What's relevant to me is you telling me something that allows me to pay my light bill on time, my car note, and take care of myself, my children, and anybody else that needs. That's relevant. If it's relevant, that produces movement. If it's non-relevant, there's no movement. So currency is a result of relativity or being relevant, and relevant happens after clarity, and clarity happens after purpose. So where there is no purpose, abuse is inevitable. So when I was talking to my nephew this morning, I was talking about the anger, being angry. Like, because on the surface, there's no way that my nephew should be angry. When I was talking to my kids, I just had this conversation before. That's why I drove down and talked to my nephew, because I just had this conversation with my daughter, who was not angry, but my daughter was depressed or disappointed. Now, remember, being broken means you think you need fixing. The moment you think that you are broken, that you need to be fixed, that's stage one of being reprocessed, because the devil doesn't possess people anymore. He processes them. So you are a processed person. You're not a possessed person. It's not like in a movie. You're processed. That means that your brain is patterned. So to be broken, being broken, means that something that happened was so damaging, that was so traumatic to the point that you feel like you did something wrong and that you need to be fixed. You feel like something's wrong with you. Now, improvement and brokenness is two different things. We're all in the process of, quote-unquote, self-improvement, which I don't even like that word. I like the word self-awareness. That's why I have the Christ consciousness, because I like awareness. I like consciousness. I like total awareness. I like total perception, because that means that your consciousness is expanding to include the solution. See, the solution is just outside of your awareness. It's not that you are broken. It's that your eyes, your vision is impaired. So brokenness is impaired vision. Because by definition, the word broken means separated into parts. It means shattered. So to be broken means that you've been separated into smaller pieces. So that means you've been separated from the whole. So when you are emotionally broken, emotional are vital to our well-being. So if you are emotionally damaged, that is the result of some type of a traumatic event, or a combination of traumatic events, then it impairs your ability to form future relationships. It impairs your ability to recognize your emotional bank account has been drained. So in order for you to be emotionally broken, you must be emotionally bankrupt. In order for you to be emotionally bankrupt, you got to be hooked up with someone who's sucking the emotions out of you. They're not making no emotional deposits. So if I don't make an emotional deposit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, those things, if I don't deposit, if I don't say and do things, then what I am pulling on you. If every time I come around you or someone comes around you, they require something of you. There is an emotional drain. That means that you are being broken. You are in the process. So it's not that you need to disconnect. You need to ask yourself, why did I draw that into my reality? Remember, you bring about what you're vibrational about. You bring about what you vibrate. So whatever vibrates on your level is that's your devil. So your devil meets you on your level. You got a vibrational devil. That just simply means evil. Because remember, look at the word evil. Turn it around. It's the word live. L-I-V-E is E-V-I-L. So however you live, that's what makes you evil. Meaning, it's not putting you in a mental state of wealth, health, wisdom, and toe-curling relationships. So, number one, being broken is an illusion. Now, remember, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying that it's a very real illusion. So what does that mean? If somebody does something to me that disappoints me, is that not real? Did that just not happen? Hell yeah, it's real. Yeah, it just happened. I have every right to feel the way I feel. But I don't have every right to be the way I feel. Remember, being is a mental disposition that is maintained in the brain. So we're talking about being broken. We're not talking about falling down or having a problem or, you know, getting punched in the gut and something unexpected happens in your life. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a prolonged mental disposition where you choose to stay because you're holding on to something that happened. We're not saying that what happened is not just you. You have every right to feel the way you feel. Never let somebody tell you do not have the right to feel. If something happened that's not fair, it's not fair. I don't care what nobody says. You have the right to feel the way you feel. Okay? After you feel that, what do you do next? Well, Brother Will, I'm going to keep feeling it, brother. Okay, but that event happened. But you understand that event hurt very deep. Now, remember, by definition of the word broken, it means a violent. So nothing happens until you are violently separated from something that you're attached to. That's number one, violent separation. So remember, the devil has this process in place because he got to get you emotionally bankrupt. Otherwise, you're going to be a positive light. You're going to have the three L's. You're going to have love. You're going to have light. You're going to have this uncontrollable, overwhelming, contagious laughter. This ability to live in love, live in light, and live in life. And it's all contained in a frequency that we call laughter, because that's contagious. So the enemy doesn't like that. He doesn't like for you to bring joy to other people. So he got to limit your laughter. He got to take away your life. He got to take away your love, and then he got to put out your light. Then that destroys your laughter. It's difficult to have laughter when you've been broken. But remember, by definition, the word broken, by definition, it means violent. That means shattered. That means that you are connected to something or someone, and then, boom, is violently shattered. That creates what we call brokenness. Now, you can't be, because being is a mental disposition. As human beings, even though we're really spiritual beings, being means that is how you operate. That's your disposition. So the real title of today's message is a broken disposition, a depressed disposition, an angry disposition, a negative disposition, an evil disposition. These dispositions, as we talked about before, it is a mental state that is prolonged inside the brain. So when this mental state is maintained inside the brain for a long time, then that changes the entire chemical or the entire chemistry of the brain. And the moment that that happens, everything starts to change. Now, brothers and sisters, when we talk about this, it's extremely important because this brings to the second part. Once you are violently detached, then you are depressed. Remember, the word depressed means a lowering of one's mental state. So first of all, if you're connecting to something that provides you, you know, financial, provides you, you know, emotional, that provides you, you know, health, that provides you, you know, knowledge and wisdom, that provides you relationship support, and then something happens where that's disconnected, then what do you feel? Okay, you feel like something's damaged. So the moment you feel like that, you feel like, okay, something's wrong with me. Well, how come it's not the other guy or the other girl? Why is it you? Why do you feel like you need to be fixed if you didn't do nothing wrong? It, you know, it also means that why do you think or why do you feel like you've been worn down to a state you can't or you don't want to fight for something or fight against something anymore? Do you ever notice how they take a wild horse? How do they break a wild horse? Why do they call it, you know, breaking a horse when they bring it in taming? So when they get a wild horse, how do they break it? Well, the way that they break a wild horse is they get a bunch of cowboys and they do something that they know the wild horse doesn't like. That is, sit on his back. And the wild horse goes bananas. And he keeps going bananas until what? So the first guy gets on him, and then he bucks him off. Then the next guy, he bucks him off. Then this guy, and this just goes on and on until what? until the horse gets tired of bucking. He gets tired of fighting. So brokenness means you're tired of fighting. It's a state of mind where you've been worn down emotionally. And that state of mind meaning that you don't quit, you just don't fight. You're not fighting anymore. You don't go after what you really want. You just kind of like, you know it's there. Yeah, it's like a horse. Once a horse is broken, he loses his desire to buck. But the way by which the horse gets broken is by repeated exhaustion, by pulling out all of his energy. And that's what happens to most women, or a lot of women in relationships. They get with some knucklehead like me, but I'm retired, so, you know, hey. But they get with some knucklehead, and he does things that he should know, but maybe he don't, that causes the woman or the man to buck violently. They don't like that feeling. And so once you've been broken, what happens to the horse once it's been broken? Well, they say he's tamed. So is the horse really tamed? No, that horse is depressed. It's like when you get any wild animal, like going to the zoo. I like going to the zoo, but I hate going to the zoo. Because what I see is broken animals in the zoo. You see a lion in the zoo versus a lion in the wild. It's like going to SeaWorld. They got the orcas in there, and their fin is always bent. But in the wild, their fin is standing straight up. And they say that's the result of captivity. That means that orca, that sea whale, that orca is depressed. That simply means, my brothers and sisters, that they have been tamed. And so when you are, quote unquote, tamed, that means that you have been domesticated. And when you've been domesticated, that means that you're making less power. It means less powerful. It means easier to control. A broken person, now remember, this is the enemy's process that he used to keep you in check. And this is a process that was used on me and process that was used on the military. The military is good. You come into when I came to Marines, first thing they did, I was like, oh, you blah, blah, blah. Boom, they broke your spirit. Now, they didn't break mine, but they came damn close. And then once you get a broken spirit, boom, you're depressed. It lowers your mental state. Why? To make room for another one. So depression, D means to lower. And pressure means impression. It means putting pressure on that lowers you. So it means to push down, depression. So depressed. So when you being broken, the next thing is for you to be depressed. So if you are depressed, now remember, that means that you got less energy and you have less control because you're not using 100% of your brain. You've been domesticated. You've been tamed. And now remember, depression, wow, that's running rampant. So I was talking to my nephew, and we were talking about, okay, well, why are you angry? What's going on? Well, you know, he's depressed. Why are you depressed? Bam, he's been broken. So I had to get to the cause of, so that's why I'm talking about this, because I had just talked about this with my oldest daughter, and I was explaining to her why there's nothing broken. Because to be broken means you need to be fixed. So you can't fix something that's not broken. So I got to get you to buy. That's the first thing is, I got to get you to buy the fact. So I got to sell you that it's something abnormal. I got to get you to believe that there is an abnormal activity that is taking place in your neurological circuits in your brain. That's the only way being broken. Everything starts when you, like, the best way that the enemy does it, I mean, what he did for me? Comparison. So you compare yourself to your neighbor. And your neighbor got something that you don't, so you feel. And so that's the cause of what you and I call depression. Because depression is a feeling of sadness. Depression is a feeling of loss. Depression is a feeling of of a lack of interest. Depression is a lack of desire to engage in daily activity. Depression is always manifest through sadness. You can see it in a person's face. They just don't feel like, hey, man, let's go to the party. Oh, no, bro, I don't really feel like going. It's sadness, but it comes from being broken. And broken means that you were violently separated from something that you was attached to. Now, remember, not physical attachment. We're talking about unrealistic expectations or misplaced dependencies. We're also talking about justifiable events that should not have happened to you. We're not talking about if a woman, God forbid this was to happen to anybody, but if a woman was to get raped, she would get violently attacked. And should she not feel broken? Absolutely. But should she be broken? Now, this is extremely important because this message is really dangerous, because somebody could hear this message and it comes across as being insensitive. So you're telling me something bad happened to me and I'm just supposed to get over it? Okay, how about something bad happened to you? Well, obviously it's bad happened to me. Well, my mom died. People told me, Negro, just get over it. And the people that usually was telling me that, they were the people that were still celebrating Mother's Day. Well, when Mother's Day rolled around, I don't have no mother to go celebrate Mother's Day with. So Mother's Day is not really a good day for me. It may be a good day for a lot of other people, but Mother's Day, but I'm not being. That's not a mental state where every day I'm depressed because I ain't got no mama. I very seldom think about it. And the only time I think about it is really on Mother's Day. Well, everybody else is celebrating it. Then I remember, that's right. I don't got one of those no more. But I do have people the lady that helped raise me, she's still around. So, I got to get out of it. So there's a way by which to overcome. But we got to realize that the word being means to maintain or to occupy a place. It is a situation. It means to remain undisturbed and uninterrupted. That's a problem. You cannot remain undisturbed and uninterrupted in a broken place where you think something's wrong with you. Even if there is something wrong with you, even though there's not nothing wrong with you, because God doesn't make junk. So there's no such thing as everything I'm talking about, this is all an illusion. But I know because the events happen that we say is bad. Okay, the death of my mother, was that a bad event? I don't know nobody that gets off the planet alive. Does anybody know anybody that leaves this planet alive? Everybody dies. So when people die, why are people broken? Well, if it's like my case, my mother died violently and unexpectedly. Okay? That makes sense. Why? It wasn't a natural part of, quote-unquote, what we call life. That's broken. Okay, now that you're broken, if you maintain undisturbed, uninterrupted, you form depression. And if you maintain undisturbed, like my little nephew, like they didn't tell me until I just started. Nobody wanted to tell me in the family because they already know. As soon as my sister called me and told me that last night, I was gone. Because I knew that if my nephew stayed in that state, he had already been in that state for 6 months. That was way too long. So I immediately went because I know that you cannot stay in that state for a long period of time. Because what happens is that festers and it becomes depression. Once it becomes depression, bam, you go to step three. That becomes anger. And sure enough, my little nephew was doing a lot of stuff that, especially in my family, where we from, especially for black folks, like, what? He did what? No. Let me make sure y'all understand. We don't do that. And so now I have to understand the source of the anger, but I have to reverse engineer it. Because what is the Bible says? Be angry. The Bible says that. It says be angry. But then what does it say next? But sin not. That means it's very, 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 very important. Because be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. So, but where did it start? So when I talked to my nephew, I was like, right, okay, punching holes in walls, doing this, doing that. No, but we don't do that. You know, saying things, you know, making a gesture, like where I'm from. Yeah, if you jump at your parents, that's pretty much that's called end of life. And then God forbid you actually put your hands. At least that's where I'm from. I don't know about where y'all from, but if one of my kids was to have the thought, they didn't got to do that. If they just think. Last time me and BJ had a conversation, that's what it, you know, same thing. He said, oh, it's like that. His words were, it's like that, Dad? Yes, Negro, it's like that. And he got his ass in his car and he left. Because that's how it should be. Because what we're talking about is anger that is unchecked. It's undisturbed. It's uninterrupted. When it goes on, bam, it leads to number four, negative. It takes very little energy. In fact, it takes no energy to be negative. Being negative is easy. It doesn't require any strength. It doesn't require any superhuman effort. Being positive does. It requires energy. It requires work. Y'all think I just wake up and be positive every day? I got to fight demons just like y'all do. I got dead skeletons in my closet. I have nightmares too. I have bad things. I got bills. You know, I've gotten bad reports from the doctor. A lot of stuff. You know, I'm not dumb man. Even though I am dumb man. But I don't got no S on my chest. But let me make sure y'all understand. I don't need fixing. So everything changed in my life when I realized that. Because remember, I was negative Nancy. And then because I was negative, meaning that I always saw the glass half empty. It was like, man, there are people. Do y'all know people like that? Every time you see them, man, oof, the devil's on my back. It's like, oh, I'm just believing God. And then 6 months later, man, the devil's still on my back. I'm like, damn, is the devil only after you? And then you ever know those people, they always, every time they see, hey, dog, hey, man, you got a couple of dollars? They always want to borrow money. They always broke. Like, those, like you can't always be broke. Oh, you can't, no, that's everybody. Just Sean, how did I was saying, the light shines on everybody twice a day. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because there are some people that are negative. I don't care. They could win the lottery and they give them the money. And say, well, why'd you give it to me? And I'll, you know, 100. That's a lot of $100 bills I got to count. How come you're going to give it to me in $1,000 bills? How the hell am I going to count all of these freaking $100 bills? What am I going to do with all these $100 bills? Well, you just won the lottery. Yeah, I know, but you paid me in $100 bills. Where's the supervisor at? I don't care what you do. It's freaking, they're always negative because they're angry. They're angry because they're depressed. They're depressed because they are being broken. They choose to stay broke. They choose to stay detached from the solution. Now, I'm not saying that broken shit is stuff doesn't happen that hits you in your gut, catches you off guard, and boom, it drops you to your knees. But you got to get up, boo-boo. You can't stay down forever. You can't. You got to get up. You got to find the light in the dark tunnel. It's in there. You just got to find it. And more importantly, if you're in that dark tunnel, you are the light. The light is inside of you. Being broken, being depressed, being angry, being negative leads to being evil. And I know a little bit about that. Because when I was a young whippersnapper growing up, I was a very evil dude. And I wasn't that diabolical evil that lands you in prison. I was like, okay, my life sucked, so I want to make everybody else's life suck. Now, that made me really good in football, I have to say. Because when I played football, I just didn't want to tackle you. I played, y'all ever see, you know, Ray Lewis, the linebacker for the Ravens? He's now Lawrence Taylor. That was a few guys in the NFL that played with a disposition. And when you saw them play, you was like, when you got hit, you knew you got hit by Ray Lewis. Because he didn't try to tackle you. He tried to, like, walk through you. He tried to, like, end your life. So that's how I played. I played, like, I tried to remove the guy. Whoever had the ball, I tried to remove his head from his body. So I didn't just want to bring him to the ground. I didn't want him to get up. I wanted him to limp off the field. So the coach was like, hey, yeah, that little fool, he's little, but he plays very aggressive. So evil is an aggressive. It's not normal. So evil is a profoundly usually wrong by, you know, and I hate to use the word right or wrong. I'm trying to get away from it. Let's use the word degenerative. Evil is usually degenerative, meaning when you find an evil person, they are usually a degenerate. We're supposed to generate energy. Evil people take energy. They are degenerative. A person that is a degenerate, it usually means that they are debased. It means that they are, you know, degrading. It means that they are devoid of certain attributes and characteristics. It means that they are perverted. It means that they have abandoned any type of morality. Debased means to reduce something in value. That's evil. An evil person, they have reduced themselves in value. They don't see themselves as valuable, and they want to reduce your value. That's evil. So when you meet somebody and if somebody comes into your life and they reduce you in value, now I've done that, and then I saw it and I felt bad, and I said, you know what? I want to add back the value that I took. Because it's just when you see, especially because remember, this is my message. I'm just inviting you along to listen. And when I was talking to my nephew this morning, it was talking to myself. I saw me when I was walking the streets of Richmond at 13. I remember the crazy stuff that I did in Richmond that should have ended my ass in prison. But the grace and mercy of God, that's the only reason I'm not in prison today. Because, number one, man, you talking about violently broken? First my mom died, then I go to my dad's house, and this Negro locks me out and tell me, boy, we don't want you here. So I'm sitting on the porch. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, I know he's going to let the door open. I mean, I am his son. I look like him. This fool's go to bed. So I walk across the bayou over to my friend's house. And after about a week of doing that, I was like, I guess he's for real. So I threw my crap in my pillowcase, and I was out. You talking about being broken? To lose your mom and then to be rejected by your biological father at 13? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I got fights every day. I would fight anybody. I don't care how big they were. I took a lot of whoopings, but I gave some, too. Why? Number one, I was broken. I was violently detached from my, quote-unquote, foundation, my family. Now, this violent detachment can be financial. This violent detachment can be health-wise. You could be in perfect health. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you got, you know, 3 months to live. You got Kubakaba disease. You say, Doc, what is Kubakaba? We don't know, but you got it. You got 3 months. Get your house in order. That's violent. That's something that's like hit you in your gut. It's not expected. It's violently detaching. You could be like some of these Wall Street dudes. They go in and have all this money. They worth millions. The stock market crashed, and then you got $100 left. You go from having $100 million to $100 in the stock market in your cup. That's broken. You've been financially broken. Then relationship. We all been there. We all know a relationship broken. I don't need no example of that. Being in a relationship, and then boom, something happens, and that leaves you broken. But do you stay in that state? If you stay broken, you are going to be depressed. And if you stay, now, what's the time limit? There is no time limit. Like for me, I like the whole, it takes 21 days to break a habit. It takes another 21 days to turn that habit into a new lifestyle. It takes another 21 days to turn that new lifestyle into your new destiny. So if we were to look at 21, 21, 21, we get a number 63. So we round it, you know, you can round it up or you can round it down or you can round it any which way you want it. So about 65 days to say for you to totally rewrite your script. So if you stay in a broken state for longer than basically 2 months, it's not going to be good for you, boo-boo. Because what you are doing by again, now you go from a situation or an event to a mental disposition or a being. Now you are being broken. You've established a new neurological network in your brain. And that new neurological network starts to build, it starts to feed, and it starts to grow. And that's what we call dis-ease. Because you at first you was at ease. Everything was good, and then something made you uneasy. Now you got dis-ease. So once you become dis-ease, that's broken. And then you're depressed. That means that you used to think very highly. You used to be very positive. You used to be very outgoing. You used to smile. You used to get to work early. You used to stay late. You used to enjoy life. But now your mental state is the life has been sucked out of you. Your mental state has been lowered. So now you're depressed. And because your mental state is lowered, you see other people out there having fun and you pissed off. Now you become angry. And once you become angry, then you become negative. And why the hell them fools having fun? Everything is negative. And then once you become negative, then you start doing debased activities. You become evil. You start becoming a degenerative. You start seeing everything because you just reduced the quality or your own value. So now you have no self-worth and no self-value. And once you are at that place, I've been there, brothers and sisters. I didn't read about this in no book. This is a real life shiznit. And I saw it this morning, and it scared me. Because what I saw, I already knew. All right, nephew, let me tell you who you are. This situation is temporary. But I didn't have, and I don't do this, and nobody, I didn't have no father either. He was just there on paper. But I didn't, you don't understand, but no, I'm understandable. And his whole vibe changed. Why did his whole vibe change? Because I saw his worth and his value. I didn't talk about the problem. I didn't violate his face. In fact, I just stood the first time on, I waited. I didn't go into his room. I waited till he came out. And after hey, nephew, and he was just going and got some water. He was on his way back. I said, hey, man, so how you been, man? What's going on, blah, blah, blah. And then once we started talking, man, he was talking nonstop for a good 2 hours. Because all he said was, man, I appreciate the fact that you came down and took time to talk with me face to face and not over the phone. It's something about making an emotional deposit into somebody else's life. Today, if you can say one thing, preferably face-to-face, positive, into somebody else's life, you can pull that person out of deep, dark evil, deep, dark negativity, deep, dark anger, deep, dark depression, and deep, dark brokenness. I know this is not a one-time fix. I know he's still going to need encouragement, still going to delight, just like with me. You can't erase 5, 10, 15 years of brokenness, depression, anger, negativity, and evil with this one conversation. That's unrealistic expectations. That puts you right back where we started from. Expecting something to happen, that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen, meaning it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen on your time schedule. So if you really attach to the process, you will reach the goal. A lot of people are attached to the goal, but they're not attached to the process of reaching the goal. A lot of people are attached to losing 50 pounds, but very few people are attached to the process of losing 50 pounds. That means eating less sodium, eating less sugar, eating less starch, maybe moving more, burning more calories than you consume. A lot of people want to lose weight, but very few people love the process of losing weight. See, you just can't like it. You got to love it. If you don't love the process, you can't reach the goal. So the process of overcoming all of these five negative events, there's a process, and that process begins with what? What I start with every client, and that's clarity of purpose. So what I told my nephew was, man, I gave him his numbers. I said, dude, this is why, look, you are one. What is one? One is an independent. One is a loner. One is a, also, that's why I don't like people. That's why I don't like her. That's why I don't, you know, get along with, I don't like nobody all in my face and all that. But yeah, that's natural, dude. So nothing's wrong with me? Hell no, ain't nothing wrong with you. That's the way God made you. So if people got a problem with the fact that you don't like crowds, you don't like going to parties, you're a lone wolf, you like hanging out by yourself, you're a leader, you're not a follower. If they got a problem with that, they need to talk to God, not you, because God made you that way. I can see the light in his eyes come on. Like, so, oh, so broken? Hell no, you ain't broken. So I don't need to be fixed? No, you don't need to be fixed. Ain't nothing wrong with you. God don't make junk. There's nobody that needs to be fixed. If you, the fact that you, if you imply that you need to be fixed, that assumes that you're broken. Now, I'm not saying that you may fall down, but that don't mean that you stay down. Broken means that you stay down and you can't be put back together. There's nobody, listen to the sound of my voice, if you break your leg, you put it back in place, you put a cast on it, you leave that cast on there for 3 to 6 months, and guess what happens? That broken leg is healed. We all can be healed. I don't care what's wrong. There's nobody that is broken beyond the point where you can't be repaired, not fixed. You don't need to be fixed. And so this idea of fixing people is faulty. And I remember I was, you know, Captain Saberblank, and I thought it was my job to fix people because I thought that, you know, how arrogant that is for you to walk around and think that, you know, you're so good that your dookie don't stink, that you're the only person, you're God's gift to the planet, that everybody else needs you. That's arrogant. That's cocky. That statement alone is that's an indication of ignorance. The fact that you walk around, that's why it is so dangerous to be in a position to think that you have the solution to everybody's problem. But that implies that everybody's broken. So nobody needs to be fixed. Everybody can just expand consciousness, meaning that we're all great. We can choose to be greater. Some of us, we can operate at our greatest. But everybody's good. Now we can be gooder, and then we can choose to operate at our goodest, or we just stay good. But nobody's broke. We got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of this idea that we got to fix people. People do not need fixing. They just need loving. You ain't got to fix nobody. Just freaking love them. That's all I did. All I did was take time. He said his own father wouldn't take time. I know my father didn't take time for me. And brothers and sisters, sometimes that's all it takes is a letter, a phone call, just a positive statement in somebody's life to help them get out of that negativity that they're in. Because it doesn't require nothing to be negative. You can wake up tomorrow morning and you don't feel on top of your game. You have to make a choice. Like I tell everybody, I wake up every day and I set my intention. Every day. And every day, everybody on this phone call, you have a choice. Every day you can set your intention. Every day. What am I better at than most people? Better yet, as I said before, what are you better at than the average sixth grader? Can somebody please answer that? Are you better at mathematics than the average sixth grader? If you are, you can make a product, a service, or you can share some information because you can leverage your information. You can leverage your automation, and you can leverage your intellectual information, your intellect. When you leverage that, you produce what I call an automated income. Because that is a systematic series of actions that are duplicatable and implementable because it's simple. So the question again is, what are you better at than the average sixth grader? Now, I know that requires or the average eighth grader. That is how you start to become unbroken. Because, see, right now, the only way you can stay broken, the only way that you can stay depressed, the only way that you can stay angry, the only way that you can stay negative, the only way that you can stay evil is if you can't see value and worth in yourself. You can't see no way out. I don't know how many times my nephew told me that this morning and yesterday. He said everybody's telling him what to do, but nobody's telling him how to do. So all I did was tell him, okay, this is how. Everybody been telling you what to do. Well, you need to get your own place. You need to get a better job. Well, you need to do this. Okay, how do I do that? I don't know, but just do it. That dog don't hunt. You got to ask, okay, what? Well, I ain't got no skills. I got to tell you, don't. Okay, what can you do better than the average eighth grader? Maybe you know a better way to tie your shoes, and most eighth graders don't. Okay, make a video how to tie your shoes. Build a following over that video. Then make another video. You know, maybe you know how to, clean your glasses. Maybe you know how to blow your nose. Maybe you know how to take wax out of your ears. Maybe you know how to cook. Maybe you know how to clean. Maybe you know how to change out a battery in your car. Maybe you know how to change a flat. Maybe you know how to cut the grass. Maybe you know how to clean the windows. Maybe you know how to wash dishes. There is something that you know that you can do that's better than the average eighth graders. Most eighth graders, I say sixth, seventh, eighth grade, middle school, there's something that you know that they don't. Whatever that is, that's where you start. You keep it simple because the forefather is simple. So my brothers and my sisters, today's message is a very important message. As I keep saying, you do not have the luxury of a broken heart. You can't. Now, I know things happen that may break your heart. That's okay. Stay there. Feel it. Embrace it. Cry. Shed some tears. Go out in the woods. Hug a tree. You know, do some earthing. Walk bare feet. You know, call a suicide hotline. Text me. Call me. Call the Reverend Dr. Bishop. Talk to Aunt Sue, Aunt Boo, Uncle Tommy. Do whatever it is that you got to do. Feel it. Don't brush it underneath the rug. Embrace all of the feelings. It may take you a week. It may take you 2 weeks. Make sure it doesn't take you longer than 21 days. You go through whatever you got to go through. Give yourself 21 days to grieve. That's okay. Now, it may take you longer than that. That's okay, too. But somewhere during that grieving process, there should come a point where you tell yourself, okay, yeah, that hurt, that hit me. But guess what? Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And you start telling yourself what the Word of God says. And then you start telling yourself what your design says. And then you start telling yourself what your desire says. So you start with the Word, then you go with your desire, and then you go with your desires. And if you need any help, I have all that inside of my book, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. So brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Thank you everybody so much for joining me on the late show today, because I was driving back from H-Town. So I thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. There's a name written on his thigh that no man or woman can pronounce. May the sun and the Ruach, and the Numa, and the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others, cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home, cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug, because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth, this weeping under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours, for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours, for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo, since I'm back of all.
on our gritty. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
For yourself, you the day one, so do it for yourself.